This
is URN.
Welcome back to Feminoticum. That was Dua Lipa there with New Rules. And the new rules we're trying to instate here at Feminoticum and widely at the university is getting women in positions of politics and places of power. Now, I said before the break that we'd discuss the Beyoncé campaign. And as I said, any chance to discuss slash play Beyoncé, I'm here for it. So, the I'm Not Bossy, I'm the Boss campaign was released about, I want to say, 3 years ago. And relates to women in places of power because the website reads, words like bossy send a message like don't raise your hand or speak up. By middle school, it's an American campaign, girls are less interested in leading than boys, a trend that continues into adulthood, which is what we discussed about half an hour ago with the hashtag ban bossy. So it's essentially saying that when men or boys at school put their hand up or say, oh, I want to run for student council, or I'd like to read this passage out in the book, a man or a boy is told, oh, that's really forthcoming of you, that's really really brilliant that you're raising your hand and getting involved, that's very commanding, that's authoritative, that's brilliant. However, if a girl or a woman does it, they're automatically backed down a lot of the time by being called bossy or controlling or all of these words that promote a very negative image of a woman in power. And it's actually saying that this language is stopping so many girls from even just raising their hand, and it's stunting education, not just stopping them from becoming CEOs.
Yeah, I completely agree. I used to be called Bessie Bossy Boots. That was my name.
Oh, and bless you.
This affects... So when I was at primary school, I was really loud. I was really forthcoming. The amount of times I got told to be quiet, the amount of times I actually got kicked out of the classroom for maybe speaking my mind too much. Now, I don't think I was a badly behaved child.
I couldn't pass judgment, Bessie.
And occasionally, I'm sure it was justified. But I just never... I grew up in a household where it was very okay for me to like express myself, and I'm not against discipline at all, but this affected me so much so that when I went to junior school, I was almost unrecognisable in terms of like I was as quiet as a mouse.
Really?
Really shy. People that didn't know me at primary school, when I tell them that I used to get in trouble, they couldn't imagine me ever once speaking out. I would actually start to shake if I had to speak like physically in front of the class. It was my absolute nightmare, and I carried this pretty much stayed with me until my second year of university. And wow. It was only really through doing things like radio, through going on a year abroad, through doing languages. I think they're massively important to help you increase your confidence studying languages, definitely, because you have to, the only way to learn is to speak.
Yeah.
So that kind of, I was put in the situation where I was like, no one can understand me, I'm gonna have to do like my worst fear, which is talking to strangers, and just do it.
That amazes me.
The girl that was like 5 years old, like I would have done it like no problem whatsoever. I would have done it like standing on my head and finished it with a split and being like, ta-da, this is me. Whereas like that got absolutely like not like just through language beaten out me. And like I still for this day hate it if my mum ever calls me Bessie Bossy Boots, because it just takes me back to the like 6-year-old girl that was, everyone was like, oh, she's too bossy.
This is something that a lot of campaigns recently have run, saying that actually girls are just as willing to be involved in politics and just as willing to be involved in their school community.
Yeah, there's not a gene for politics.
Exactly. It's ridiculous, right? But then it gets knocked out of them because of this system, because of language. And I believe Dove did a campaign called hashtag like a girl. And it's something we'll discuss next week on women in sport. They are 6-year-olds across the board, boys and girls. Run like a girl, or throw like a girl, and they just ran as fast as they could, they threw the balls as fast as they could, and then they asked the same question to adults, and it was run like a girl, throw like a girl. And then all the adults, bar I think two, all then ran in this very stereotypical like, oh, the like, yeah, arms flailing, and then throw like a girl, only managed about half a meter. And it just goes to prove that clearly there's an indoctrination happening at some point in our education system that's stopping women believing that making women believe that they're lesser than.
There's something that I really still struggle with, and I think part of it is also we're kind of given this idea of like what makes us attractive to men is really put into our heads really, really early on, is the idea, yeah, that they're not going to want to go out with you if you're bossy or naggy. The idea of a nagging woman, and it's the idea, no, well, I'm not nagging you, I'm just trying to tell you how I feel.
So I'm not sure if you've ever been told this. I've been told I'm intimidating because I speak my mind, and it's not a case of being aggressive. It's just a case of if I feel like something's wrong, or I feel like, say, we're having a discussion across a table, across the pub, wherever it may be, if it's a case of I don't agree with what's said or I actually have an opinion about it, I'll say something.
I used to embarrass an ex-boyfriend. He used to be like, you're embarrassing me.
Really?
Yeah. Awful, isn't it?
I think this is what happens in boardrooms across the country and across the world, in the sense that a lot of women are just being shot down. And maybe for us it's a bit different because we're quite confident, but for a lot of women, and potentially what you were saying about your junior school career, just being, once one person shot you down and said, why would you even think that, stop being so bossy,
it just would affect me today.
You just wouldn't say anything,
still
would
did.
You
it still would, and it still does. I still find myself trying to be I spend a lot of time with males and I find myself taking the mickey out of, like, I do say, like, don't be such a girl, taking the mickey out of girly traits, and I find myself being one of those girls that says she doesn't like other women because they're weak, and that's not the case. It's just, it's these patterns are ingrained into you, and when you are trying to prove to people that you're not like that, even though that whole pattern has just been created by the world we live in, it's not true. I find myself saying some terrible things that are completely awful, and I really regret it. And I just think if girls weren't brought up still with the idea of, like, make sure you think about what boys think about you, and, like, that's still, like, I still think that, and I still worry about that. What I'm doing is might put someone off. I still worry about getting a fight with my boyfriend and coming across as being psycho. There's been times where I've been upset and just, like, left it because I don't want to be labelled a crazy psycho girlfriend. And I don't think there's many girls that haven't had, like, a thought where, like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this because I don't want to be accused of being a naggy. Like, it's just awful.
I think it's interesting that with all of these issues, what's the solution? And actually, having this discussion now, I think it's a lot of alarm bells for everybody going, oh, I feel a bit like a guilty feminist. Like, oh, I say, think you were saying that.
I feel I'm the guiltiest feminist. I'm a terrible, yeah, terrible.
This is my argument. There's no cookie cutter, 100% brilliant, perfect feminist. It's actually, the important thing is we're having this discussion, and the important thing is we're talking to guys because they're 50% of the conversation. We can't have gender parity or gender equality unless men are involved.
It's education.
Exactly.
100%. It will start in schools. It also has to start from home, and that I hope that people in our generation will raise their children completely the same. But also, the media's got to take responsibility. The music industry has to take responsibility.
Certainly.
The way that women are still portrayed in music videos still shocks me that it's still acceptable. The fact that, for example, so many female artists get criticised for music videos being that feature a woman being very strong, and maybe the dominant one is being overtly sexualised. No, she's just because she's, you want to sexualise, but only if she's the small figure in the background,
the object
if
of desire.
If she is the one that is, like, being sexualised, and, like, she is the dominant person in that situation, suddenly it's inappropriate. Everyone has to take responsibility because we are, like, what our surroundings create. So with that in mind, you've got to, like, everything affects you, from, like, a poster to a piece of music. So that's what's got to change.
In terms of solutions that don't necessarily more, we're talking about a lot of sort of cultural solutions that are going to come generation to generation, but in terms of solutions for now, what do you think of women only lists to get into political parties? So the Labour Party currently have it. I don't believe any other party in the UK do. What's your opinion of it?
I wish that positive discrimination wasn't a thing, and sometimes I'm really conflicted with this because actually myself, as I'm white, middle class, highly privileged, so I know for a lot of jobs, especially going into the broadcasting industry, I will be like the last person they want to hire. They do not want to have this Holmes County girl on their television screens, and that's taken me a while to kind of
accept
that, because sometimes I found myself being angry and then had to hold myself back and look at the bigger picture and see that, well, actually, if by having someone from a minority with a disability on television, that is going to make this world a better place, then I'm all for that. I think people have to see it the same way for all women's list. It's a solution to it's a terrible solution. It's not a good solution, but it's almost the only solution for now. It's the same way that I think Winston Churchill has this great quote about democracy being an awful system, but it's the best option we have at the moment.
Yeah.
It's the same with that. So for right now, if we do need to get women to be more visible, and if women lists are the way to do that, and the Labour Party now has, what, 43%?
Yeah.
Of their party are women.
It's the biggest, other than
and
the
And that is incredible. Like, it's obviously working, and it won't be forever, because there'll be a day when these things won't be necessary.
Exactly, and I think a lot of people turn around, and I think it's what you're conflicted about, is saying, but the best person, regardless of gender, should get the job.
And actually, they're not going to hire terrible women.
No, that's...
They're just going to exclusively hire really good women.
Exactly, and I think from my point of view, I'm an advocate for positive discrimination. It's worked with affirmative action for the African-American community, and I think it's the same that can work with the gender spectrum, in the sense that women have been oppressed undeniably, and there's people can't turn around and say this didn't happen now. It just can't happen. They've been oppressed for years and years and years. And therefore, in, say, a metaphor of a 100-metre race, right, men are starting 30 metres forward, and therefore they're bound to cross the line first. Positive discrimination only means that they're bringing the start line up to exactly the same level for both men
and
women.
Of course. It just makes me have to work a little bit harder, and there's nothing wrong with that. It just makes boys have to work a little bit harder, and they haven't had to work very hard. Well, no, that's not fair. But
steady, Bessie.
Yeah, just I would love one day, like, if it was, you know, walk a mile in someone else's shoes.
Yes.
And I think that is, like, would be incredible. Obviously, you can't recreate that, but it would be amazing for them to, like, experience for what a girl goes through for her whole life. And actually, I feel
we'd be aware of how much oppression that we face, because we're just not aware of it.
I wasn't until university, and I thought about it, and I was like, I can literally remember, I can't remember a time where I haven't felt like I've been somehow, like, I can't remember going out to a club and not feeling like a little bit like I'd been, like, assaulted, because every time, or, like, objectified. I can't remember a time where I felt maybe I shouldn't speak because I'm a girl. Like, it's definitely, you don't, until you think about it, you don't see it.
It's certainly a case that it is still very prevalent in 2018, and discussions like the one I just had with Bessie certainly need to take place across kitchen tables, at school, at university, and it's something that is happening more so now, but needs to continue to happen. So that was Women in Politics and Places of Power. If you want to catch up on it, the audio boom will be up later this week. Follow Feminotium on Facebook, and next week it will be episode on Women in Sport. I will not be jogging while presenting, but I do have Emma Hodge, our new sports officer here at UON, coming on to talk to us. Thank you very, very much, Bessie, for coming on and having a chat with me.
It was an absolute pleasure. I hope I haven't been a bit too angry.
Never. You can, if there's a space to chat
about
it.
Reclaim the word angry. It's not angry, it's impassioned.
Please tune in next week at 6 p.m. same time on Monday.